Hi again, everybody. It's Chuck Ross, editorial director of Television Week magazine. And we're talking today, we're going to be talking about hour 6 to 7 in day 6 of 24 with Evan Katz, executive producer and writer. How are you, Evan?
I'm well as someone who is currently working on the last few episodes of this season can be.
Wow. Well, that's got to be exciting and pressure-packed, and we appreciate you taking the few minutes to talk to us. What I like particularly about last night's episode is it had the action that we've come to expect from 24, but also those scenes that have a lot of silences and looks and a lot of things that we've also come to expect from 24 that don't really slow things down, but just add to the whole hour. And I think what I'm talking about in particular is the whole sort of cycle there when finally Charles Logan meets up again with Martha, who's been hooked up with Agent Aaron Pierce, continuing everything that happened from last season in that respect.
Yeah, it was. It's whenever you can have three characters where the audience, where not only the actors but the audience, you know, knows their history and the complexity of their relationship and emotions. It's really great. You know, you can say so much without words.
Right.
And I think the expectation was very high to see Martha. I know I watched with my wife, and she said, "Why was she institutionalized? She wasn't really crazy last year. She was right." And I said, "Well, you know, she really wasn't the most stable person ever." And I think you can assume that the events of the divorce and the disgrace sent her over the edge. And certainly, you know, the relationship with Aaron Pierce is another great surprise.
Right, and I think you know, we all liked him being back there in the show, which I thought was marvelous. And the other thing I thought was particularly good. I know John directed the show last night, if I'm correct, right? Didn't John direct it?
Yes.
And he won an Emmy last year, if I remember correctly.
He did.
And you know, look, all of your directors are really good, but he really, I mean, the scenes that I'm thinking of particularly are as it was leading up with Martha chopping on the knife, and you just know, you figure to yourself, oh my God, this, I can't, no, they're not going to, are they going to go there? And, you know, she's chopping away, and sure enough, they go there.
Yeah, you know, it's at least supposed to happen right before you think it's not going to happen.
Right, right.
You know, it's nothing terrible is going to happen. But I really liked her look when you go back to her after Charles has been taken away and they ask her if she can still do the phone call, and she's like, sure.
Yeah. Well, I love it. She says, not only does she say, sure, she says, I'm not crazy, which was
right.
Just marvelous. I mean, it was very well written last night. The other thing that's interesting, I mean, and I don't know, I don't like to do spoilers on this, but so I'll sort of leave it to you. In other instances we've had, like when Tony was, went down, we didn't know exactly at the end of the episode if he was dead or not. That's happened a number of times. I don't know if we really know at this point if the President Logan, former President Logan, is dead or not. It looked like maybe he might be. What do you want to say about that?
I think go either way. And
okay, fair enough. Okay, very good. So we'll see if we may get obviously some more of President Logan, which is a great character. We'll see how as that moves forward.
He's certainly one of one of my favorite characters, and boy, was he fantastic last year.
Yeah, I think the actor, of course, everybody knows Gregory Itzkin did a great job doing that. I think he does a marvelous job. All of your acting has always been wonderful. And we had Ricky Schrader on the show last night. And obviously, this isn't, the Ricky Schrader from when we were all kids.
No, well, I mean, I think I always saw first on NYPD Blue that he... you know, he had a toughness to him.
Right, but this was sort of that to the nth degree, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was. It was good. It's good to see him like that. I mean, that really is the beginning of the introduction to his character. We have a lot of interesting ways to go with him, but you know, I think we have a tradition of, you know, bringing characters in who are presented with a bang to the
right.
audience. You know, and he's a really good actor, a great presence.
Right.
And, you know, it was nice to be able to sort of say, here I am.
Right. And one of the things,
deal with it. Here I am, deal with it.
Right. And one of the things that I sort of liked about last night is very rarely in 24 do you actually sort of see an out-and-out sort of funny, jokey kind of a line almost that's witty but that is really funny. And you actually had that last night when the Doyle character, Ricky Schroeder, grabbed Morris, and Morris responded about his shirt being something about being, what was it, the iron-free or something like that. It was a pretty funny... it was very unexpected for 24, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, the only times we can get away with things like that are, pretty much with Morris and Chloe.
Right.
We can do it with them because they are smart asses.
Exactly.
And
they are sarcastic, yeah.
I think we're missing a little bit from Chloe lately.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the things. People email us a lot, and that's one of the things that we have gotten a little bit this season, that folks wanted to see more of Chloe as they've come to know and love her, the fans, I think, to know, how she interacts there with Jack. I mean, it is an interesting dynamic. I mean, her dynamic certainly with Morris is different than it was with Edgar, and obviously is different than it is with Jack. So it is a little different this year.
Sort of one of the I wouldn't say unintended, but different consequences of trying to give her something more meaty, something more personal. We do miss it, but at the
right.
same time, if we had done the same thing again, she's wacky, she goes against
right.
the establishment for Jack, she regrets it. So, I don't think it's bad to take it.
Evan, what's interesting about this show that's almost different than any show that I can remember is that 24 certainly has – they wanted to actually unhinge the expectations, which is sort of anti-television. The reason that we tune in and love Seinfeld week after week after week is because – and I know I'm going back to an old show, but, even turning in, when it's in syndication is because we're so comfortable with those characters, and we can say the lines even before they say them, even if we haven't seen the episode. What's so nice about what you've done on 24, and I know it's somewhat controversial, is you've encouraged change. You've had a lot of characters die. A lot of shows wouldn't do that. I mean, they wouldn't want to test their audience or test themselves, I think, and try not to do the same things. And I don't mean to go on a soliloquy here, but it seems to me it's particularly difficult for the show that you have, given the fact that there are certain constraints, and Jack Bauer is Jack Bauer, even though you do have him evolving, it is what it is.
Well, I think that one, it's just as Seinfeld's, a show like Seinfeld's goal is to make you laugh, and part of laughing with a character is a sense of expectation of knowing how they'll respond or waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of our job is to make the audience anticipate the worst.
Right.
And part of how we do that is by, you never know who's going to buy it. That said, I think that there are a set of expectations that the audience has come to for our show, just a different set. They know, they tune in waiting to see, oh boy, what's Jack going to do to this guy?
Right.
But in a way, just waiting for something terrible to happen is just as much an expectation as, waiting for, Kramer to do something crazy.
Sure, sure. Well, I think that's a very astute observation. The other thing that you guys continue to do to a fairly well is, end these shows where, you're just daring the audience, how can you not turn in next week? I mean, you can't. I mean, every show, it used to be years ago, you'd watch Dallas and it was the cliffhanger at the end of the season, and you'd, try to figure out who killed JR, who shot JR. This, you guys do it with every single episode, which I can imagine is really not an easy thing to write.
Well, some are better cliffhanged than others.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have the advantage of a high stake situation.
Right.
So, you're we've always got the advantage of seeing how the hell they're going to, get over the next obstacle.
Right.
We try not to do the classic, perched on a piece of physical jeopardy.
Right.
Cliffhanger too often. I mean, occasionally we'll do them, but
right.
but they're usually more plot driven or character driven.
Right. Well, and last night's a perfect example. I mean, at the end of the show, Fahid is getting the drone ready to, you know, with the nuclear weapon, and as of course you'd expect, because that's where this has been leading to.
Right. Right. But you know, and less about how is Jack. I mean, I think one time we did Jack dead.
Right.
And you know, his heart had stopped.
Right. That kept us on the edge of our seats.
Yeah, you know, you just can't do it too often or it becomes, you know, particularly unconvincing.
Right. Last thing I want to talk about was some really wonderful scenes between the Powers character and the McNichols character, the vice president and the secretary. Just a really wonderful interaction last night.
Yeah, I loved watching that scene. I mean, you know, you have two guys who couldn't be more different physical presences, I think different, you know, approach as actors. You know, it was fascinating, you know, and I love watching Peter McNichol. You know, he's so internal.
Right.
You know, everything is in his eyes. And,
right.
You know, Powers is, you know, is much more extroverted as a character, as an actor.
Right.
And the combination, you know, it's rare you see those two, you know, two styles so different.
Right.
And I just, you know, I kind of was looking and saying, where else would these two, you know, two people be in the same room together?
You're absolutely right. Well, very well done. Well, look, thank you so much for taking your time and your insight. Whenever we have these conversations, be it with you or Manny or Howard, I just love the various points of view and what you give us all behind the scenes. We really appreciate it. And we can't wait to talk to you next week after hour 7 to 8. And so thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much.
Take care, Evan.
Bye. All right.